countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Well, look, it is really a tough time for all of us and everybody around the country in so many ways. But another more pressing threat to hundreds of millions of people across the world is, of course, hunger. And earlier this month, Concern and partners issued a new report, the 15th Global Hunger Index, highlighting that, for example, there are alarming levels of hunger in 11 countries that they analysed, and serious levels in another 40 countries, particularly in Africa. Now, Dr. Robin Alders contributed to the report, and she joins me now from her home in New South Wales in Australia. Dr. Alders, good morning, good evening to you. I know you're a vet, you're a consultant with the Chatham House think tank, and you're also a sheep farmer there in Australia. But first, let's establish your Irish connections.
Thanks. Hello to you, and thanks very much for Concern for giving me the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. Yes, on my mum's side, we still have family in County Monaghan. They're probably new arrivals by Irish standards. They've been on the same dairy farm for about 600 years.
Okay, so you have that established farming link with the Emerald Isle. Now, I just want to go to this report. It's quite sobering. And it's an issue we all know going back many years, and many of us will remember, obviously, Ethiopia in 1984. And ever since then, it's been very much on our radar, especially for my generation. In your report, you consider the Global Hunger Index. What does it tell us about hunger globally?
Well, we are, sadly, over the last 4 to 5 years, seeing increases in the absolute number of people who are facing hunger. Of course, globally, we also have problems with what's called hidden hunger, of people eating food that's of poor nutritional quality. But due to conflict, climate change, increasing problems with diseases and pests, agricultural production is fluctuating, is being unreliable. And as you will have seen across Europe as well, the numbers of family farmers are declining. We're seeing increasing movement of labourers, either urban areas or into migrant labour. And the stats that are presented in the Global Hunger Index are from 2019. So you can only imagine that with COVID-19, those numbers are actually going to be exacerbated, with over an additional 100 million people facing hunger by the end of the year, due to the impact not only of the disease itself, but of the public health containment measures.
Okay, and you mentioned some of the issues there, climate change, drought and conflict and displacement of people. They would be the main contributors, is that right?
They are. They're the most recent. Of course, for some of these countries, they're also lingering impacts of having been colonised, where infrastructure was set up to extract products, not necessarily to move things around a country, not necessarily to get produce across the region. Problems of local languages not being used in education. So the whole support and recognition of the importance of farming has not received the attention that it deserves.
And I want to focus just on education, knowledge transfer and enabling self-sufficiency among smaller food producers, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, I have to say that I, without naming them, I know that there are a lot of Irish agencies and charities and individuals and organisations that do work, with poor or farmers in this in these countries. How important is education and enabling small farmers in these countries to be self-sufficient? Is that a strong tool against hunger?
Absolutely. The work that the Irish NGOs like Concern are doing are fundamental to be able to provide not only funds that enable schools to be rehabilitated, but also to work with people to adapt curricula so that the curricula that for some people they won't get beyond primary school. So making sure that during that time in their in primary school that they're getting the information that will help them to be successful farmers, working with approaches that are appropriate for their areas, and also have some knowledge about marketing and being successful farmers. And clearly the challenge of getting both boys and girls to school to be able to hear useful information.
We need to produce more food to feed a growing world population of possibly 9 billion by 2050. But that's from a dwindling arable land base. And we have to do it in an environmentally and animal welfare friendly manner, which protects, of course, the income of farm families, particularly in Ireland, for example, where we are a food producing nation. Is all of this possible? You know, is it possible to keep all these plates spinning at the same time?
If there's going to be a silver lining to the COVID-19 pandemic, it will be that we know that we can do things differently. This pandemic is forcing us to do that. And the way farming is done and the way farmers, the price signals going to farmers will need to change to allow farmers to be producing that good, nutritious food, to be rewarded for that product and to get the reward they need to farm in a sustainable manner while still feeding and clothing their families. On that, certainly for high-income countries like here in Australia, we have to be more efficient. Sorry, that's my potty lamb demanding food, if you can hear her there.
The irony is not lost on me that you have a hungry lamb there. I'm going to let you wait to feed, but that's fine.
Yeah, so we need to use what we produce more efficiently. Certainly, I know the Irish farmers are great. Here in Australia, in terms of animal-sourced food, when animals do go to market, there's a significant quantity of the carcass that's not going into the human food chain. So I think not only in improving production in low-income countries, controlling disease and pests, but also at home in income countries, doing our bit to be more efficient and supporting farmers who are doing the right thing, who want to do the right thing, and to get that policy framework. So I'm hoping listeners will, the Irish farmers and your farming associations will work with your government to get clear and practical advice through to the food summit that the United Nations will be holding at the end of next year. It's vitally important that farmers and people who know farming have a voice into this global summit.
Okay, and I know your report and details of it can be found on concern.net, www.concern.net. Will you ever go and feed that poor lamb there behind you, Robin? And thanks very much for chatting to us. And it's lovely to hear you.
Thank you, Damon.
The line was breaking there, but we did get that message. And as you said, that summit is next year, and we got to all work towards that to try and reach a zero hunger situation by 2030. Lovely to chat to you. Do call by when you're here again.
Thanks so much, Damien.
Dr. Robin Alders there in New South